السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته ياسين.
أبا يوسف حاوي، السلام عليكم. I hope that the rest of us can hear me.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
طيب، can we
أحسن الله
go
إليكم.
on? I mean, can we go on, Abba Yusuf?
نعم يا شيخ أنا. نعم
إن
يا شيخ أنا.
الحمد
بارك
لله
الله فيكم.
نحمده أمين وإياكم. ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail, we just ended Babu Hajr al-Muslim, Babu Hajr al-Muslim, or Babu Hijrat al-Muslim. They are both from the aspects of disconnection from a Muslim. What are the things that we have been taught in Islam about one Muslim dissociating himself from another Muslim? You have a friend, you have a brother, you have a sister, you have a wife, you have a cousin, relative, a Muslim, just like yourself. And then you disconnect from that person. When he talks to you, you reject. You turn away. And we said that the basic rule in Islam is at-ta'aluf, that the Muslims are just a single entity. Wat-tahab, and mutually loving themselves and having at-ta'awun, mutually cooperating amongst themselves. These are the basic things in Islam. So Islam prohibits that Muslims disconnect from themselves. One Muslim vows not to speak to another Muslim. Essentially, it is wrong. We also explained the circumstances where it may become lawful, such as when a Muslim becomes very sinful. One Muslim gets into al-ma'siyah, is well known for al-ma'asi, or for a particular ma'asiya, is well known for committing sins, or for a particular sin. So the Muslim, such a Muslim, we have two ways to it. If his bad influence is feared, that he may become a negative influence to us, then we can set aside such a Muslim. A Muslim, for example, may Allah protect us, he goes about, he tells lies, he engages in zina, male or female, may Allah protect us. He does a lot of evil that we know. Or he is, as is common now, may Allah protect us. A Muslim is Yahoo boy. If you know that he is such a person, and then you fear negative influence from him, disconnect from him. Disconnect from that Muslim. If he is going to bring that negative, sinful, evil way to you, he'll bring it up in their discussions, and you may even negatively become influenced by him. Disconnect from him. And this disconnection, as we had explained earlier, it may be for more than 3 days, because you are disconnecting from him for a matter of the religion, or someone becomes a non-Muslim. One Muslim becomes confused, and then he gets out of Islam. Many times because of intellectual arrogance, many of the people think that they are intellectually opulent, when what they really suffer from is some sort of intellectual negligence. They neglect a lot of things they do not think about. Otherwise, there is no sane intellect that we know Islam correctly and live Islam. So when a person becomes recalcitrant like that, living Islam, we understand that this kind of a person, he may have negative influence on the rest of the people. So we disconnect from such individuals. So sane al-ma'siyah can be a reason to correctly disconnect from a person. Or some of the people, they show the acts of munafiqeen. Munafiqeen. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told us about sifat, the attributes, sifatul munafiqeen, khisalul nifaq. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam described many traits of nifaq to us in various ahadith. And Allah mentioned a good deal of that too in the various parts of the Quran, especially in Surah At-Tawbah. And then in Surah Al-Munafiqin or Al-Munafiqun, they were described in great details, how they behave, how they relate, and all of these. Sometimes you find in a single person, he tells lies, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. When he ever says something, he will tell a lie. إِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. When he is trusted, he will betray the trust. إِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ. When he goes into a disagreement with the people, he becomes very obscene. And all of these, you find all of these with him. When an evil befalls the Muslims, he is glad. When a good is with them, he looks at them angrily because he does not want goodness for the Muslims. So when learned people look at such persons, they will say, yes, it may be permissible for us to disconnect from such persons, especially if we fear negative influence from such persons. Or if we anticipate that when we disconnect from such persons, he will feel so bad. He will feel remorse. And then his remorse can make him return to the path of righteousness. So for two reasons, we can disconnect from some people. One, when they become sinful and negative influence is feared regarding ourselves. Two, when disconnecting from them will benefit them because it will make them feel bad and then they will feel remorseful and return to the path of righteousness. The same thing will apply to the people of Bid'ah. So al-ma'siyah and Bid'ah may make you disconnect from people. Some people, I know some of the people who are Quraniyun. When you mention a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, they laugh at you. And if they want to pick from the hadith, they pick selectively what they like, what they don't like. I pick this. I like this. But behind it, their ulterior motive is just with the Quran. Unfortunately, the bulk of those I know who get involved in this Al-Quraniyah, insisting upon living the life as a Muslim just upon the Quran. And Allah has not sent to us the Quran alone. Allah sent to us a Quran. He also sent to us a bearer of the Quran who will explain the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send the Quran alone. He sent the Quran together with the Rasul, who will explain the Quran. So the explanations of the Quran are as important as the message of the Quran itself, because they go hand in hand, pari passu. The Quran cannot be understood except with its explanation. Otherwise, how do you observe salah? How do you make wudu? How do you perform hajj? How do you make the fasting of Ramadan? The details of all of these are contained in the explanations of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who has come with the Quran. So if you find people like this, unfortunately, I was going to say that the bulk of those I know who get involved in this attitude of saying that they accept the Quran and then they reject the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or they implicitly do that. When the Sunnah is presented to them, they turn away. These people, the bulk of them, will only still understand the Quran after reading translations. These are people who will only understand the Quran after they read translations. They cannot read the books of Tafsir. And their Arabic is poor, zero Arabic. So how do these people find guidance? Unfortunately, they stand their feet and they go about deceiving the people in various forms. If you recognize people like this, for example, set them aside. Why? Perhaps setting them aside will make them feel remorse, or that when you set them aside, the people do not see them with you and then become deceived, thinking that they are upon the right Islam as they should be as Muslims. So I'm saying that two things can make us set people aside for beyond 3 days. The first of them is al-ma'asiyah, and the second of them is what? Al-bid'ah. The first of them is al-ma'asiyah, sinfulness, being in sin. And the second of them is al-bid'ah, being involved in innovations that are destructive. Of course, all innovations are destructive to the deen of the individual. So when people become like this, we can set them aside. Perhaps setting them aside will make them feel remorseful and return to the path of righteousness, or that setting them aside will reduce their negative influence, whether towards you or towards other innocent Muslims who may become deceived by your relationship with them. So in all of these, setting aside that individual Muslim is lawful. And I think that one way or the other, we had explained some of these in the previous classes. Otherwise, the basic thing is that the Muslims should not disconnect from one another, and they must avoid whatever may bring about disconnection between them. The last hadith we read yesterday was a kind of a homely disconnection that may happen. And we said disconnection occurs in various forms and in various details. One of it was what our mother Aisha radiallahu anha told us in her dealings with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that instead of saying Bala wa Rabbi Muhammadin, I swear by the Lord of Muhammad, affirming something, she would rather say La wa Rabbi Ibrahim. She would rather refer to Nabi Ibrahim and the Lord of Ibrahim when she vows and affirms a statement, rather than saying wa Rabbi Muhammad and by the Lord of Muhammad. And in all of that, she was not just going to mention him alayhi salatu wasalam, but in her mind she was full of love, she was full of esteem, she was full of respect for her husband, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam. Today, bi-idhnillah, we'll be coming to Babu Man Hajara Akhahu Sanatan. We had said that abandoning a Muslim for 3 days is prohibited, and it is from the things that can bring a person to the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith collected by Abu Huraira, فَمَنْ هَجَرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ فَمَاتَ دَخَلَ النَّارِ مَنْ هَجَرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ. Whoever disconnects from his brother for more than 3 days, فَمَاتَ, and then he passes away, دَخَلَ النَّارِ, such a person will enter the fire. So we see that disconnecting from our brother for more than 3 days in personal matters, something connects the two of you and then you have a disagreement, it results into you turning away from him. So when you abandon him for more than 3 days, it becomes a sinful act for you. The one who has abandoned his brother for more than 3 days exposes himself to that serious punishment. May Allah protect us all. So here Al-Imam Al-Bukhari says, what if a person's disconnecting from his brother comes beyond 3 days? Something happens between yourself and your sister and then you disconnect from her. 3 days. It is allowed for you to reorganize your mind within the period and return to the path of reconciliation. Now, if it exceeds 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, a month, 2 months, and then a whole year, what is the act of sin? How dangerous is this? So that's why the ulama say, when Al-Bukhari said, man hajara babu, man hajara akhahu sanatan, the chapter about speaking about the one who had abandoned his brother for a whole year, he said, ismu man fa'ala dhalik. What we are talking about is the great sin that is connected to the one, or that the one who does that and for himself. The sinfulness of disconnecting from your brother for a whole year. And it's unfortunate that if we go back to records, we may find people who have disconnected from their brothers over personal matters for more than 1 year. If the disconnection is upon a ma'siyah, as we had explained, or upon a bid'ah, it can be for more than 1 year. But if the sinfulness is, the matter is about personal disagreements, the matter between the two of you is about a personal matter, not connected to the religion in terms of al-ma'siyah, or connected to the religion in terms of al-bid'ah, no. If it has to do with something, just a personal disagreement, I think we should do this. The other one says, no, we did this. And then they begin to argue. The other one says, okay, from today I will disconnect. Don't ever come to my house. This kind of a disagreement between two people, the period should not be for more than 3 days. Now, if it exceeds 3 days, it's an act of sin. If it gets to a year, how sinful is it? This is what we want to address in this matter. If it gets to a year, if it gets beyond 3 days, it is very, very sinful. But if it becomes more than a year, what is the sin? It comes to a year. How sinful is it? This is what Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has mentioned under this chapter heading, Babu Man Hajara Akhahu Sanata, the chapter about the one who dissociates from his brother for a whole year. And it occurs in Hadith 404 and Hadith 405. So, bi-ithnillah, we'll take the two of them together because they are one and single Hadith. Hadith 404 and 405 are a single Hadith, but with a different basic isnad. We shall come back to explain that, inshallah. In Hadith 404, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Abdullah ibn Yazid. Qala Haddathana Haywa. That name is Haywa. So Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Yazid said, Haddathana Haywa. Qala Haddathani Abu Uthman. الوليد ابن أبي الوليد المدني أن عمران ابن أبي أنس حدثه عن أبي خراش السلمي أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول من هجر أخاه سنة فهو كسفك دمه من هجر أخاه سنة فهو كسفك دمه من هجر أخاه سنة فهو كسفك دمه. In the next hadith it has it says حدثنا ابن أبي مريم. الإمام البخاري said that رحمه الله حدثنا ابن أبي مريم قال أخبرنا يحيى ابن أيوب قال حدثني الوليد ابن أبي الوليد المدني أن عمران ابن أبي أنس حدثه أن رجلا من أسلم من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حدثه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال هجرة المسلم سنة كدمه هجرة المسلم سنة كدمه وفي المجلس محمد بن المنكدر وعبد الله ابن أبي عتاب فقال قد سمعنا هذا عنه. الإمام البخاري started this hadith 404 with an isnad, with a chain of reporters. He reported it from his Sheikh Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Mukri, one of the scholars of Egypt. Abdullah ibn Yazid was a teacher of the Quran in Egypt. He was Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Mukri al-Misri. He was from the scholars of Misr. He said, Haddafana Haywa. Haywa in this isnad, he is Haywa to Ibn Shuraih al-Mukri. He was also a scholar of the recitals of the Quran, and he was also a scholar from the scholars of Egypt. Haywa ibn Shuraih al-Misri al-Mukri. He was also a Mukri, a person who taught the people Quran. So Abdullah ibn Yazid was a teacher and a scholar of the Quran. He was reporting from his Sheikh Haywa ibn Shuraih, who was also a scholar and a teacher of Quran. Both the student Abdullah ibn Yazid, who is the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this isnad, and Haywa ibn Shuraih, they were both scholars from Egypt. So Haywa ibn Shuraih said, حدثني أبو عثمان الوليد ابن أبي الوليد. حدثني أبو عثمان الوليد ابن أبي الوليد المدني. So الوليد ابن أبي الوليد is the teacher of Haywa ibn Shuraih in this isnad. Likewise, if we go to Hadith 405, in it Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana ibn Abi Maryam. Ibn Abi Maryam is the nickname of this Shaykh. Otherwise, his name is Sa'id ibn al-Hakam. Ibn Abi Maryam, his real name is Sa'id ibn al-Hakam Abu Muhammad al-Jumahi al-Misri. He was also from the scholars of Egypt. Ibn Abi Maryam, that was his nickname, the son of Abu Maryam. That was his nickname, Ibn Abi Maryam. But his name was Sa'id ibn al-Hakam, and his kunya was Abu Muhammad, and he was also from the scholars of Misra. He is the second person from whom Al-Imam al-Bukhari took that hadith, rahimahumullah. Ibn Abi Maryam took it from Yahya ibn Ayyub al-Ghafiqi. Yahya ibn Ayyub al-Ghafiqi. He is Abu al-Abbas. Yahya ibn Ayyub al-Ghafiqi was Abu al-Abbas. He was also from the scholars of Egypt. So you see, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, got this hadith from the eminent scholars of Egypt with two different isnad. The first isnad is the isnad of Abdullah ibn Yazid reporting from Haywa ibn Shuraih. The second isnad through which this hadith got to Al-Imam al-Bukhari was through Ibn Abi Maryam and Yahya ibn Ayyub. So the two of them, both Haywa ibn Shuraih and Yahya ibn Ayyub, returned to report that hadith from Abu Uthman al-Walid ibn al-Walid. In Hadith 404, Haywa ibn Shuraih reported it from Abu Uthman al-Walid ibn Abi al-Walid. In Hadith 405, Yahya ibn Ayyub al-Ghafiqi Abu al-Abbas, he also reported it from al-Walid ibn Abi al-Walid. In this kind of a situation, they will say, regarding al-Walid ibn Abi al-Walid, they will say, alayhi madarul hadith. Alayhi madarul hadith. That is to say, when you go forth and backwards, that hadith returns to al-Walid ibn Abi al-Walid, who now happens to be from amongst the scholars of al-Madina, the scholars of the Prophet's Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Walid ibn Abi al-Walid was from amongst the scholars of Medina, and his name is Al-Walid ibn Uthman. Abu Walid, his father, his name was Uthman. So he is Al-Walid ibn Uthman, rahimahullah. So the hadith returns to him. In the report in 404, Ibn Abi al-Walid said, Anna Imran Ibn Abi Anas, Imran Ibn Abi Anas, Haddathahu. So Ibn Abi al-Walid, al-Walid, got that hadith from Imran Ibn Abi Anas, who reports from the companion of that hadith. The companion who reported that hadith, his name is mentioned in hadith 404, and that is Abu Khirash As-Sulami. Abu Khirash As-Sulami. Before this hadith, I, as an individual, I did not know who Abu Khirash was amongst the companions. I had not known a companion who was Abu Khirash. So I thought to look for his name, Abu Khirash As-Sulami, Khirash Khaun, Abu Khirashim As-Sulami. This companion, radiallahu anhu, Abu Khirashim As-Sulami, this is the only hadith that he has reported. So he's not widely known like the rest of the other companions, radiallahu anhu. So I sought to know what is his name? His name, rahimahu, radiallahu anhu, he is Hadrab, radiallahu anhu. This companion, his name is what? Hadrab, Ibn Abi Hadrab. His name is Hadrab, Ibn Abi Hadrab. But his kunya is what? Abu Khirash. So Hadrab Ibn Abi Hadrab Al-Aslami. Hadrab. Ha'un dalu ra'un ba'un. Hadrab Ibn Abi Hadrab. I am sure we have increased knowing the name of a companion today. Abu Khirash. Hadrab Ibn Abi Hadrab. Rahimahullah wa radiyallahu anhu As-Sulami. So he is Hadrab Ibn Abi Hadrab As-Sulami. We'll come back to that word As-Sulami. Now he is the one who heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that man hajara akhahu sanatan, whoever abandons his brother. In hadith 405, the name of the companion was not mentioned. In that case, Imran ibn Abi Anas, who reported it from the companion, what he said that was that anna rajulan min aslama min ashabin nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man from the tribe of Aslam, from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. That is the report from Yahya ibn Ayyub. What Yahya ibn Ayyub reported was that that companion was a man from Banu Aslam, from amongst the companions of the Prophet. But what Haywa ibn Shuraykh reported was that he mentioned his name, and that was that he is Abu Khirash As-Sulami. Abu Khirash As-Sulami was the companion that Yahya ibn Ayyub said, one of the companions, one of the men from Banu Aslam, reported this hadith to me. So sometimes a hadith becomes clearer with another isnad. So if we only had the isnad in 405 saying that that companion was a man from so and so tribe, from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if that was what we had, then the report of Haywa ibn Shuraykh in 404 will expose to us the actual name of that companion who was intended in the isnad in 405. This is why these two have been mentioned differently, because of these two major information. The first one is that the isnad between the two of them from Al-Bukhari to Al-Walid ibn Abi al-Walid are different. In 404, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari reported it from Abdullah ibn Yazid from Haywa ibn Shuraykh. In 405, Al-Bukhari reported it from Ibn Abi Maryam and Yahya ibn Ayyub. So these are two separate beneficial information that this hadith has not come from one root alone. It has roots other than Haywa reported it from Al-Walid and that was Yahya ibn Ayyub. The second major information in the hadith in 404 and 405 is that in 405 it says one man from amongst the companions. In 404 it told us the name of the man, radiallahu anhu, but the narration itself is the same. In hadith 404, the expression from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was man hajara akhahu sanatan fa huwa kasafki damihi. Man hajara akhahu sanatan fa huwa kasafki damihi. Whoever abandons his brother, one Muslim dissociates from another Muslim for a whole year, for a whole 1 year, over a personal matter, not upon a ma'siyah, not upon a bid'ah, that's clear cut, well known, the kind of a bid'ah for which a person may be dissociated from. For 1 whole year, he became like that. When this brother says taslim to him, he turns away. When the brother wants to shake him, he turns away. In fact, the brother can send him a gift. He rejects it and sends it back to him. Shaitan puffs him up, as we had heard in the last hadith. That if you say taslim to your brother, the one who says taslim to you and you reject, a malak returns his taslim and shaitan returns your own rejection. Shaitan puffs you up. So for a whole year, you are like this. So the matter goes beyond saying that that person will get into fire. Now the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَهُوَ كَسَفْكِ دَمْهِ. It is as if he has taken his life. He has taken his blood. كَسَفْكِ. He has shed his blood. If you abandon your brother over a personal matter for a whole year, it is as if you have shed the blood. That is the sinfulness, the evilness, and the danger in that is like the sin of taking the life of a Muslim. Like the sin of taking the life of a Muslim. The sin that is connected to abandoning a Muslim over a personal affair. It was a personal affair. Many times people get into differences in personal affairs. And one of the worst ones is that when people get into differences on personal affairs, they want to paint it by the paint of the religion to justify the disconnecting from their brother. They now want to paint it as if it's a religious matter. So they can't even point out the sinful character of that brother. Neither can they even point out the innovation that he got into. They can't explain. They now give it a religious picture. Why? So that they can find justification for their evil act of dissociating from their brother. This is bad. That's why some of the scholars say, if you want to dissociate from a person regarding a bid'ah, ask a scholar, ask a learned person, so that you are sure that you are not upon an error. I want to disconnect from this person because of his innovation. Look for a learned person to ask, is that kind of an innovation for which a person may be left behind? If it's upon a sin too, find out, this person does so and so thing. Should I disconnect from him? So that you are not taking that decision, one, upon ignorance. Two, you will be sure doubly that you are not just following your own desires in disconnecting from him. But if it is just about personal disagreement between the two of you, it must not be more than 3 days. If it's more than 3 days, you who is dissociating from him, you expose yourself to the fire. And if it's up to a year, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kasafki damihi. It is as if you are taking his life, shedding his blood. And it is not appropriate for a Muslim to take the life of another Muslim. In hadith 405, the expression was hijratul muslim sanatan, hijratu al-muslimi sanatan kadamihi. Abandoning a Muslim for a whole year, kadamihi, it's like taking his blood. The other one, it says Kasafki Damihi. Here it says Kadamihi. And their meaning and expressions are the same. Kasafki Damihi au Kamava Kadamihi. So it is prohibited to disconnect from a Muslim for a whole year. For more than 3 days, it is prohibited. When it is now up to a year, it is the sin in it. It's like taking the life of a Muslim and shedding his blood unlawfully. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this evil. And Allah had warned us regarding taking our lives. It says, Wala taqtulu anfusakum. Don't take the life of your brother. Wala taqtulu anfusakum. Don't kill your brother. It is prohibited for a Muslim to take the life of another Muslim. Elsewhere in the Quran, it says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not take the life that Allah holds in sanctity. Allah respects life. He created it and made it a thing of honor. So don't take that life, إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Except with the rights that Islam itself establishes, that the owner of the life has dictated. And that is in the case of a Muslim who abandons his deen, Islam, or a person who abuses Allah and his messenger, or the like of that, or a person who takes the life of another person. And nafs will be nafs. If a person takes the life of a person, then his life may be taken. Likewise, a person who commits zina after being married, a man has a wife, he has had intercourse with his wife, and then he commits zina. This man may be executed by the Sharia courts. Likewise, a woman who has had a husband, and then she goes about making zina, and all the rulings regarding these things will be established in the law courts. And then the punishment will be established. These are the rights, some rights. From that is spreading evil drugs. When a person spreads drugs in the society, it comes under that verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. So except in these kinds of situations, it is unlawful to take the life of a Muslim. Allah says, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. And whoever is killed unlawfully, قَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. We have given his relatives the authority to determine whether to take, go upon a revenge or to forgive that person who had murdered their brother. So all of these go to explain that taking the life of a Muslim is something that is very, very serious. In some verses of the Quran, Allah says, anyone who takes the life of a Muslim, he will enter the fire. Man qatala mu'minan. So if any person takes the life of a Muslim, let it not be except illa khata'a. If it's upon a mistake now, but when it happens deliberately, anyone who takes the life of a Muslim will enter the fire unless he is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then even when the relatives forgive, there is the diyah to pay. And in all of these, he also has fasts to observe. So all of these go to make us understand that it is not an easy thing to take the life of a Muslim. Now, when you abandon a Muslim, you are committing a sin that is similar to taking the life of a Muslim. When you abandon a Muslim, sanatan kasafki damihi, the sinfulness of that is like taking the life of that Muslim. In another hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, sibabul muslimi fusuq. When you become abusive, you insult a Muslim. Some of us pride, they take pride in abilities to insult people, abuse them. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, sibabul muslimi fusuq, When you insult a Muslim, insulting a Muslim is from the symbols, is from the aspects of fisk, being sinful. What shows that a person is sinful is that he takes pride. He can insult a Muslim. He can abuse a Muslim. He can bring a Muslim down upon his tongue or upon her tongue. Just know that you are upon an iniquity. Wa kitaluhu kufrun. And killing a Muslim, fighting a Muslim, is from the aspects of disbelief, major or minor, as the case may be. So this makes us understand that fighting or taking the life of a Muslim is a very serious matter. Something like it is abandoning a Muslim for a whole year. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, hijratul muslimi sanatan kadamihi aw kasafki damihi. When you abandon a Muslim for a whole year, the sinfulness is like the sinfulness of shedding his blood. This makes us understand that Islam really, really frowns at abandoning a Muslim over personal matters. He repairs your vehicle and he does not do it well. It's a personal matter between the two of you. It's a personal matter. Resolve it. Resolve the matter. If you are angry, you abandon him. He prays in the same masjid with you. You abandon him. Don't let it exceed 3 days. You have a disagreement at home, perhaps with your wife, and you feel it's a personal matter. As far as the matter is personal and not connected to the religion, then that abandonment and dissociation must not exceed 3 days. If it exceeds 3 days, it's an act of sin. If it gets to a year, the sin is like the sin of taking the life of a Muslim. Now in Hadith 405, after it says, Hijratul Muslim sanatan kadamihi, it says, Wa fil majlisi Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir. On the gathering where that companion was giving that hadith, where he said that Hijratul Muslim sanatan kadamihi, where Abu Khirash Hadrab ibn Abi Hadrab al-Sulami, when he gave these statements that he had heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that gathering, there was Muhammad ibn Munkadir and there was Abdullah ibn Abi Attab. Muhammad ibn Munkadir and Abdullah ibn Abi Attab were tabi'uns. They are from the tabi'een. Faqala, the two of them then said, Qad sami'na hadha anhu. We have also heard this from him. We also heard that. So when Imran ibn Abi Anas gave that statement, two people who had heard from Abu Khirash al-Sulami, they also affirmed it. Yes, we also heard that from Abu Khirash, that Abu Khirash said that he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that hijratul Muslim kasafki damihi, abandoning and dissociating yourself from a Muslim, the sinfulness in it is like the sin of taking or shedding the life of a Muslim. May Allah protect each and every one of us. It only goes to say that dissociating yourself from a Muslim is a major sin, is a major, major sin, is a kabira from amongst the kaba'ir az-zunub. May Allah protect all of us. I think it is sufficient for us to go to the next chapter where Al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Babul Muhtajirain, the chapter about two Muslims, Al-Mutahajirain, this time disconnecting from themselves. The first hadith, the first sections we've been dealing with, is one Muslim who dissociates from another Muslim. This chapter we are talking about is when the two of them disconnect from one another. They are slightly different. Hajrul Muslim, you dissociate from a Muslim. Mutahajirain, the two of them disconnect from one another. This one says, I will never talk to you. The other one says, I will never talk to you again. And they carry on, the two of them. That's why you see in the first case, one of them will come to say, Assalamu alaikum. The other one says, no, don't. Because it is the other person who is disconnecting from the other brother. Take a case when a brother repairs a car for the brother. He repaired the car, and the owner of the car is not comfortable with what he has done. So the owner of the car, yuhajiru akhahu al-muslima, he disconnects from his brother, the Muslim. He disconnects from his Muslim brother. In this case, it is at tahajur. The two of them disconnect from one another. They had a business together. On the day they came to sit down to discuss the proceeds of the business, what has happened, they had a disagreement. This one said, go away. The other one said, go away. This is the two of them now become muhtajirain. So this is what Al-Imam al-Bukhari is talking about. Babul muhtajirain. Fortunately, the two narrations under this chapter have been previously addressed, but we quickly read them so that we end these matters, inshallah, today. In Hadith 406, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Ismail, Qala Haddathani Malikun, An Ibn Shihabin, An Atai Ibn Yazidin al-Layfi, An Abi Ayyub al-Ansari, Radiyallahu Anhu, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاثة أيام يلتقيان فيورد هذا ويورد هذا وخيرهما الذي يبدأ بالسلام. الإمام البخاري said حدثنا إسماعيل. إسماعيل in this isnad we read a number of ahadith from him. That was الإمام إسماعيل ابن أبي أويس, the nephew to Al-Imam Malik, the son of the sister of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, paternal this time, a nephew of Al-Imam Malik. His name was Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. He said, Haddathani Malik. You see, he is reporting this hadith from who? Al-Imam Malik, his uncle, and Ibn Shihab. Al-Imam ibn Shihab is who? Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab ibn al-Zuhri, and he is reporting from another tabi'i. So this hadith has two tabi'in, two from amongst the tabi'in. The first one, Ibn Shihab, Muhammad ibn Muslim. The second one, Ata'u ibn Yazid al-Laysi. Both reporting from Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. We remember that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari is usually referred to as who? Sahibu Rasulillah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is his name? Khalid ibn Zayd. Radiyallahu anhu. He was the one who housed the Prophet and accommodated him for about a month in Medina when the Prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for Hijrah. He said, Anna Rasulallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aqal. Abu Ayyub ibn al-Ansari said, the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاثة أيام. It is not lawful. لا يحل. It is not lawful لمسلم, for any Muslim, أن يهجر أخاه, to dissociate from his brother, فوق ثلاثة أيام, for beyond 3 days. يلتقيان. The two of them will meet. فَيُورِدُ هَذَا وَيُورِدُ هَذَا. This is the point of reference. This one turns away, here the other one turns away. So it becomes that the two of them are dissociating from one another. It is different from one is approaching and the other one turns away. The one who turns away is the muhajir, making at-tahajir, making hijrah. If it was one of them who turns away, that is what we have been discussing. But in this case, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, yu'ridu hadha wa yu'ridu hadha, yaltaqiyan. The two of them will meet. The circumstance required that the two of them greeted themselves, they shook hands, they hugged themselves. How are you? How is home? Instead of doing that, yu'ridu hadha wa yu'ridu hadha. This one turns away, the other one turns away. Meaning that two of them are what? Muhtajirain. I hope that it is clear now. This one turns away, the other one turns away. The two of them become muhtajirain. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is not lawful. Now, why have they mentioned this? They have mentioned this because sometimes, shaitan may bring a thinking. that, oh, it is not lawful for me to dissociate from my brother for 3 days, and for more than 3 days. What if he is the one dissociating from me? I am not dissociating. He's dissociating from me. It's not lawful for him. Okay, the two of us are now dissociating from ourselves. So instead of leaving that loophole, the Sharia blocks it. You should not dissociate from your brother over a private matter for more than 3 days. The two of you should not dissociate from one another over a private matter for more than 3 days. So it covers any kind of a loophole where somebody may hide to seek a way to dissociate from the rest of the Muslims. So this is not lawful for two Muslims to dissociate from themselves for more than 3 days. That's why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa khayruhuma alladhi yabda'u bis-salam. And the best of the two of them is the one who starts with the taslim. Why is he the best? Because he's the one who returns early to the path of righteousness. So someone dissociates from you, or two of you dissociate from one another, the two of you are bad. Regarding this matter, you are violating the limits of Allah. The first day, second day, third day, you must reconcile. If the two of you don't reconcile and you still turn your backs against one another, the best of you is the one who returns to the path of righteousness. That is Hadith 406. And I think the point of reference is clear. You already do have that. Why you already do have that? The two of them turn away from one another. In Hadith 407, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Musaddad, Qala Haddathana Abdul Waris, An Yazid, An Mu'adha, Annaha, Sami'at, هشام بن عامر يقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول. This hadith 407 is the same as hadith 402. The difference between the two of them is that in hadith 402, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his Sheikh Abu Ma'mar, Abdullah ibn Amr. In 402, he reports it from Abu Ma'mar, Abdullah ibn Amr. But in Hadith 407, he reports it from his Sheikh Musaddad, and that is Al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarhad ibn Musarbalin, rahimahumullah. So he says that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in Hadith 407 now, he said, لا يحل لمسلم أن يصارم مسلما فوق ثلاث ليالي. It is not lawful for a Muslim to disconnect from another Muslim for more than 3 days. فَإِنَّهُمَا, because the two of them, مَا صَارَمَا فَوْقَ ثَلَاثِ لَيَالٍ فَإِنَّهُمَا مَا صَارَمَا فَوْقَ ثَلَاثِ لَيَالٍ. For the two of them, ma saru ma fawqa thalathi layalin. They will not continue to disconnect from one another. Saru ma. This is the point of reference. The two of them are dissociating from one another. It's not that one of them is dissociating. The two of them are disconnected. The two of them come and say, I will never talk to you again. The other one returns it, I will never talk to you again. Or they block one another. He blocks him, the other one blocks him too. Or he blocks his text message, the other one blocks his text message. I will never talk to you. This is al-musarama between the two of them. They are the two of them making this negative attitude towards themselves. The Prophet said, when the two of them do that, فَإِنَّهُمَا نَاكِبَانِ عَنِ الْحَقِّ مَا دَامَ عَلَىٰ صِرَامِهِمَا. The two of them are far away. Ma'ilani anil haqq. The two of them have inclined away from rightness. They are inclined away from goodness as long as they remain upon their mutual dissociation from one another. The point is that we are prohibited from doing that. You don't do that to a Muslim. Then the two of you should not do that to yourself. Don't say, oh, he dissociated from me and then we dissociate. No. The two of you should not dissociate from yourselves. You should not also dissociate from him. As long as what is causing disaffection is what? Issues of personal disagreements. So when they do that, فَإِنَّهُمَا, the two of them, نَاكِبَانِ عَنِ الْحَقِّ مَا دَامَا عَلَىٰ صِرَامِهِمَا. as long as they remain upon that sin, innahuma nakibani anil haqq, the two of them are certainly far away from the path of righteousness. Wa inna awwalahuma fay'an, and the first of them to return to the path of rightness, yakunu kafaratan lahu sabquhu bil fay, his being the first person to return to the path of righteousness will be kafara for him, to be a means of atonement for his sins. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa in huma mata ala siramihima, and if the two of them continue until they die upon that, dissociating themselves from one another, lam yadkhul al jannata jami'a, the two of them will not come into al jannah. This makes us understand, for the sake of Allah, as we emphasized yesterday, if you have a brother you are dissociating yourself from, or a sister to a sister, for the sake of Allah, people should go back to make reconciliation. Just go back to your phone. Check your phones. All those brothers you have disconnected from over petty personal matters. Sometimes the personal matters will be so, so petty. You disconnect from them. You block them. You vowed not to speak to them. Let each and every one of us go back to the path of reconciliation, the path of mending fences, and being sure that we sustain good relations amongst ourselves as Muslims. This is what our religion has taught us. It remains for us to follow the lessons. Most times people have very good teachers, but they fail to become good students. The blame returns to them. So if we find guidance and we refuse to take to guidance, it will not be upon us. They don't have guidance. They have guidance, but they have abandoned the guidance. May Allah protect us from this kind of an evil. People who will see the path of guidance and goodness, and yet they will not stick to it. So for the sake of Allah, if you have issues with your brother personal, resolve them. But when it is upon ma'asiyah and negatively influencing you, for the sake of Allah, you can abandon him for as long as you are safe from his bad influences, or from her bad influences, if it were a woman. May Allah protect us from the people of sinfulness and from the people of innovations. We can go on with a few questions we have today, Abu Yusuf. Ameen wa antum fajazakum Allahu khairan. There's a question here. May Allah preserve you upon good, Shaykhuna. Ameen wa iyakum. Will reducing the level of interaction and discussion with between yourself and a brother, would it be regarded as disconnection, even if you talk when the need for such arises? Yes, it is part of disconnection. We heard when our mother, radiallahu anha, spoke about her own disconnection. We said disconnection is in various levels. Even not mentioning his name. Before, if you see him, salamu alaikum, Abu Fulan. Salamu alaikum, Abu Fulan. Out of love and esteem for him, you're always mentioning his name. Abu Fulan, Abu Fulan, Abu Fulan. And now when you meet, you only say, salamu alaikum, alaikum salam. You have disconnected from mentioning his name. That is also from a part of, from aspects of disconnection and dissociation. Perhaps before, when he sees you, you smile, you laugh with him. Now when you see him, you frown your face. This is from the aspects of disconnection. Any of these should not be beyond 3 days. Any of these, don't make it go beyond 3 days. Don't make it go beyond. You have 3 days to do all of that. And if it was a situation, let us not be petty, oh brothers. If it was a situation requiring you to discuss with him, face him and discuss the matter with him. If it was something requiring a talk with him, face him and talk to him. My brother, you did this to me. it's not good that you do it to me, or you forget about it and it ends there. You forget about it or you discuss it with him. A brother reported a matter regarding what another brother did. And this matter had been there for about 4 years, or even more, about 5 years. When I got into the matter, I said, so he did this to you for 5 years, and you have been nursing this grudge against him for 5 years. You could not discuss it with him, and you could not end the matter with him. It's a personal issue, not having to do with their religion. He disrespected someone older than him. And for 5 years, the grudge was nursed. You did not invite that younger one, come. Why did you do this? Stop, don't do that again. And he was, they see themselves inside him. He does not feel comfortable with him. So if you want to discuss the matter with your brother. Don't give him dissociation. Don't give him a cold treatment. If you do that, if you give him that cold treatment, they call these kinds of things cold treatment. If you are giving your brother a cold treatment over a personal disagreement, no problem. But don't let it exceed 3 days. Otherwise, you'll be exposing yourself to the fire. May Allah protect us. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, man hajara akhahu fawqa thalathin famata dakhala an-nar. If you give him this cold treatment for more than 3 days and you die like that, you expose yourself to the fire. All what we have been doing in our life is to run away from the fire with the kind of life that we live. So why should dissociating yourself from your brother, your colleague, now be the same reason why you expose yourself to the fire of Allah? May Allah protect us from this evil. I hope that is clear, inshallah. There's another question here, and I think it is going to be relevant, inshallah. Can the same be said of co-wives who have refused to speak to each other since the second wife was married into the family? We addressed a similar matter regarding this yesterday. A second wife who has been married into your family has not offended you. She did not do anything to you. Offense is as is considered in Islam. What has she done to you? She married a husband that you are married to. Is it prohibited for her to marry your husband? A man is married to you. That same man becomes married to another woman. Tell me the offense that the woman has committed. She has not committed any offense. So if you disconnect from her, you are just disconnecting from her for a personal reason. It's not religious. It's not for a religious reason. If that disconnection exceeds 3 days, it is sinfulness. Let us go back to the drawing boards, oh Muslims. Don't let it be for more than 3 days. It's you are celebrating your own desire and your love, your inclinations. Let it not be more than 3 days. If it becomes more than 3 days, you're exposing yourself to evil. There are some women who for a year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, they have dissociated from the co-wife, the second wife that the husband has become married to. Your husband has not offended you. Neither has the second wife too offended you. You are the one offending yourself and disobeying your Lord who has created you. So go back to the path of rightness. Don't become a follower of Shaitan. Shaitan will give you many more reasons not to stop this act of disconnecting from your sister. Fortunately, she's your sister in the religion. So she has not offended you. And she's not upon sinfulness, neither is she upon innovation just because she has married your husband, a man that you are married to. So for the sake of Allah, let us avoid these things. It has to do with them too, co-wives who abandon themselves. or co-wives who abandon themselves over a matter inside the house. Don't let it be beyond 3 days. Don't let it be beyond 3 days. Not to say a year. May Allah protect us from these kinds of deviations. It's a serious deviation. And then when they ask us, what does Islam mean? We say total submission to the will of Allah. Is that not what people say? Al-Islam. It's very common on the street. Someone asks you, what is Islam? Submission to Allah's will. Al-Istislamu lillah. Al-Istislamu attamu lillah. Absolute submission to Allah. And yet Allah does not want you to nurse the grudge and become angry against the person disconnecting from him for more than 3 days. You say, yes, I'm a Muslim, but this one I don't want to accept. What kind of Muslim are you? So for the sake of Allah, it does not show iman. It does not show this following the sunnah. When you dissociate from a person over personal matters for more than 3 days, you are committing a major sin. Unfortunately, many of the people still do that in Ramadan. They live upon this kind of a life in Ramadan. May Allah protect all of us. The question here regarding Abu Khirash. Abu Khirash al-Sulami was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And his name was Hadrab ibn Abi Hadrab al-Sulami, Abu Khirash. So this question says, will the hadith be authentic because this companion is not well known? Companions are not from those people. You want to know a reporter of a hadith so that you can verify his reliability. As for the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, it's a qaida in the science of hadith. Kulluhum udul. All of them. They are verified people of trustworthy and reliability. We don't need to verify them. What we need to verify is their suhbah. Do they have suhbah? Was he a companion? If it is confirmed that he was a companion, then that's okay for him. He does not have to be well known. Once he's a companion, his reports are accepted and relied upon. Not like the rest of the people. Once you know the rest of the people, you now also start verifying their personalities. But as for a companion, once it becomes known that he's a companion, radiallahu anhum, his narrations become reliable and trustworthy narrations. There's a question here again. You reported a matter. I have a question. There was a class and hadith was discussed about our mother who disconnected from her cousin. Not her cousin. It was her nephew, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. We'd mentioned exceptions where people can disconnect from people. An example is the father to a son or the mother to her son by way of discipline. We'd explain that exception. And that hadith is the evidence for it. The mother to a son or to a nephew, because the nephew is in the status of a son, just like the aunt is in the status of a mother. The father too can also do that to a son by way of disciplining that son. He can disconnect from that son for more than 3 days. That occurs in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. It also occurs in the hadith of Aisha. We had read that hadith. There are a number of ahadith regarding that. When a father may disconnect from the son by way of disciplining the son. Obedience to parents is from the aspects of the religion of the son. Obedience to parents is from the aspects of the religion of the son. When that son becomes disobedient, the parents can take that kind of an action against him. Obedience to the parents is from the aspects of the religion of the son. So somewhat, that's also having to do with al-ma'asiyah regarding that son. So he may be shown that disconnection by the father. there's no contradiction بإذن الله. Once everything is placed in its rightful place. الله أعلم.
نعم شيخنا جزاكم الله خير.
آمين وأنتم أبا عامر.
The question here reads, I live in a community of Muslims who show open rebellion to the Sunnah. The women are rumor mongers and homebreakers, immoral and supporting others towards evil. Can I decide to stop associating with them for fear of their influence? Can I stop saying or responding to the taslim to those who have spoken ill of my family and our dignity?
You have two ways to that. You can address the matter directly with the elders in the community. You can address the matter if you have grievances, they had treated you badly, they had maligned you, they had given you backbiting and slandering. You can address that matter directly with the elders of the community. This is one way to handle that kind of a matter. Another way to handle that kind of a matter is you do not disconnect from them, except to the levels of, if not disconnecting from them, aspects of life where you don't disconnect from them may bring you negative influence. For example, if you don't disconnect your wives from them, those other women may become negative influence against your own home. So you can disconnect those women. Just don't come to my house. And you can disconnect your wife too. Hey, don't take these people as a friend. Don't take any of them as a friend because of the evil influence that is feared from that. Or because you fear their evil, that when they hear something from your home, they go about spreading it by way of causing evil against your own home. So you can disconnect from them for as long as within the matters where their evil is feared, whether regarding yourself or regarding your home or regarding your family. But there are other communal matters, like praying together. You go to the masjid, you pray together. You can even say taslim together. And when you even say that taslim, you may not be open, you may not show a lot of smiles, just within the limits. So look inwards, there are things that you'll be able to do with them that do not bring negative influence against you. Regarding your religion and regarding your person and your family, do those things with them, but try to draw a line. There are other things that you may do with them that will bring evil to you. Then those things, you disconnect from them. In this kind of a case, the disconnection will be in accordance with need, in circumstance, particular situation. I know a brother who also live in a community like that. The person who leads them in Salah is a Qurani. He jokes with anything the Sunnah. He plays with it. He doesn't care. He goes on with his bald. He shaves his beard when he likes. He makes a jest of women in vain. He does a lot of all of these. He backbites. In fact, he sends children to do that. Children hide behind the curtain to listen to what you say in your home so that they can address and spread such evil against you. He makes jest of you. He makes jest of your children. So the best of what you can do, yes, you observe the Salah together in the masjid. And perhaps you even try to address the matter and he rejects. He continues upon that. You can draw a line. These kinds of people can be negative, evil influences to your wives and children because they do not search for anything regarding you except evil. So you can draw a line. When you see them, if you think even telling them Salamu Alaikum is safe, say salamu alaikum. If it is not safe, keep off. Disconnect from them. More so when the matter, you attempt to address it and they reject. And they continue upon that evil. And it is very, very real that they can become a means of negative influence against your children and your home. Cut them off. It is lawful in our religion. I hope that it is clear, bismillah.
نعم شيخنا جزاكم الله خير.
آمين آمين. أبو عامر, we've had a lot of, we've extended the time today.
نعم شيخنا. صلوات الله عليك.
I mean, there's a question here and I think it is very, very important. If I disconnect
from someone. Someone is asking, and the person is dead. What can I do to rectify the affair? If the person you disconnected from is dead, be nice to his kids, be nice to his family, and then make tawbah. You, the one who disconnected, you are the one who must not die upon disconnecting from your Muslim brother. But if the one from whom you disconnected is the one who passed away, then all you need to do is to make tawbah and then improve upon nawafil, goodness, because إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَا السَّيِّئَاتِ. And if you know people who knew that you had disconnected from him before he died, let them realize that you have cancelled that disconnection. You have resolved that disconnection inside you, and you have chosen to move ahead, not disconnecting from him. And from the things you can do that will benefit him is to make a lot of dua for him, that Allah should forgive him, that Allah should show him mercy, and then you yourself should increase in nawafil, in sadaqat, in fasting, and in all these other good deeds that will earn you good rewards that can cancel out the evil recompense of your having disconnected from him for more than 3 days over a personal matter. I hope that the matter is clear, bismillah. Amen. Amen. Can we have it a class today until next weekend, inshallah? Amen. 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 Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.